time of worship before I get up. Those last words were in that last song, Michael, were good. Let my words be a joy unto you, O Lord, and let them be a sweet, sweet song. I hope my words this morning are somewhat sweet anyway. We're going to look forward a little bit on this Palm Sunday to next week. So that's what I'm going to share this morning. It's this Easter, not like today, it's like this Easter coming up. That's what I mean. It's sort of a future tense anyway, all right? Coming up this Easter, we're going to talk this morning a little bit about what happened during this week. We're going to look forward a little bit. And I don't think everybody was happy when they found out that Jesus was alive. For example, wouldn't you agree that probably Caiaphas and the Jewish leaders weren't too happy when they heard that the Son of God, whom they crucified, was now alive? Do you think they were really ecstatic about that? I don't think so. Now, how would you feel if you were the leader of a people and you found out that you had killed God's Son and that now He was alive walking loose? I don't think that made them too happy. I don't believe Pontius Pilate and the centurion who thrust his spear into Jesus' side and those soldiers who beat and mocked Him, I don't think they were too happy neither. They weren't really excited that Jesus was alive. Let's take it a little further now. I'm not so sure that the disciples were really ecstatic and excited that Jesus was alive. I mean, how would you like it if you had failed Jesus at the moment of His greatest need in His life and He needed your help? He had asked them to stay and pray in the garden with Him, and you know what happened. They fell asleep. And then when the soldiers came to arrest Him, shortly after, they all turned tails and ran. I mean, they deserted Him. They left Him alone. How many times did Jesus tell them and teach them, you know, hey, the Son of Man must die, but after 3 days, be raised up? Either they didn't believe Him, or they didn't understand Him, or else they would have been at that tomb 3 days later with Michael's tambourine and a band and having a party. But instead, they were out hiding in fear behind closed doors. They were scared for their own, you know, skin and their lives. So I don't think the disciples were too happy neither. Now, and when they heard that Jesus was alive, I think one word came to their mind. Retribution. Uh-oh, what would Jesus say to them when He saw them? I mean, the angel says here in not everyone was happy when they heard Jesus was alive. And in Mark 16, verses 5 through 7, the angel said to the women who had came to the tomb, he said, "Go tell the disciples and Peter," that coward Peter, "go tell them and go into Galilee and wait there because Jesus wants to see them in His office." And we're going to talk about Good Friday. Now, and it says in another gospel, it says, "And they were greatly afraid." Yeah, I think I'd be scared too if the boss was going to come to see me about my bad failures. Sort of like when I was 17 years old, I believe, my dad had just bought, you know, recently, a 1963 Rambler station wagon. And at that time, it was used, you know, my dad bought Ramblers. I don't know why, you know, they were just repair all the time. But one day, my brother and I decided we were going to take the car, and my dad let me take it, and it was a station wagon, and we were going to go out and goof around. And it was around 4th of July. And so we bought a bunch of M80 firecrackers. Now, at that time, M80s were not like they sell today, all right? Back then, M80s were equivalent. I mean, they were deemed at the Geneva Convention as weapons of mass destruction. All right, they were that powerful. And so we had a bunch of them, you know, we'd blow up mailboxes and stuff like that. And so we decided to go down to our buddies and their road, and we were going along. The procedure went like this. I'd roll down the window. I'd hold out an M80. My brother was sitting beside me. I was driving. He was in the passenger seat. He pulled he pulled out the cigarette lighter. I'd hold it. He'd light the M80, and we'd go by somewhere, and I'd throw it out the window. And this is my BC day. This is before Christ, all right? And this is before Jesus got a hold of me. And anyway, we were doing that. And so he lit one, and I was ready to throw it out at something or someone. I don't know what happened. So I threw that thing out. And instead of going out the window, it hit the top of the door jamb and bounced back into the car. Now, at that time, and the bad thing was, I had no idea where it landed. I just know that there was a lit M80 somewhere in the car I was driving that was my dad's car. And so I didn't know what to do. I hung my head out the window because I knew it was going to go off. And sure enough, that M80 went off. And I couldn't hear for 5 minutes. I couldn't hear a thing. Not only that, it landed on my car seat sort of behind me. And it burnt my bottom is what it did. But that wasn't the bad thing. The sparks from that somehow got into the back seat. And my dad, we had chickens, and he would get corn for the chickens, and he put it in the back, down in the back seat. And those corn husks caught on fire from that M80. So I got a fire in the back seat. I can't hear. My bottom is burning like crazy. So I pulled off the road. By that time, we were on a country road. I pulled into a country road, stopped the car, and it's on fire. I didn't know what to do. We put it out, and then I started running home. I was in a panic mode. And so on the way home, I got down the road a little bit, and I thought, why am I running home? I just set my dad's car on fire, and I'm going to go home to my dad? And I'm thinking, well, I'll tell him, Dad, your car's on fire, I burned it up, but I'm alive. And I knew he was going to say, not for long you aren't going to be alive. I was scared. You ever been scared like that when you know you have failed? Think about the disciples now going back. Think about all that they had done wrong, running, and now they hear he's alive. But I don't think anybody quite understood their failures at Easter, like two men that we've read about and you've read about. And those two men are Judas and Peter. I want to contrast the failures of these two guys. Okay, now on Easter, Judas is sort of the bad guy, all right? Kind of like in the old-time movies where in the Westerns where the bad guys wore the black hats, you know, and the black coats and always had the black oars, and Jesus is the good guy. But I don't believe Jesus was bad and I don't believe Judas was bad and evil all the time. I really don't. And most scholars would agree. He wasn't all twisted up and evil with a hunchback and drooling and, you know, stringy hair. It wasn't like that. The Bible says he was a friend of Jesus. The Bible says that he started out sincere. And he was one that Jesus sent out to do miracles. Judas did miracles. But somehow one day along the line, his feelings about Jesus changed. And the Bible says he looked for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Now, some scholars say that he was doing this for Jesus' good. He wanted to press Jesus to put him in the limelight. He wanted to say, Jesus, get out there and be the king and overthrow these Romans. So he was sort of pushing Jesus into a role that he thought was the role of Jesus. And it was an entirely wrong role. Jesus didn't come to be a conqueror. So the Bible says he looked for an opportunity to betray him. And so he went to the chief priests and elders. He says, I'll turn him over to you for a price. And they agreed on 30 pieces of silver, and the deed was done. But I want you to see what happened after that. Because in Matthew 27 it says, then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, was full of remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. And I have sinned, he said, by betraying innocent blood. What's that to us, they said. See to it yourself. So he threw the silver into the temple and departed. And then he went out and hanged himself. Have you ever failed God? Yeah. Have you ever felt the pain of failure? I know I have. I failed Him more times than I'd like to confess. We had a young lady come into the shop where I worked, at the countertop manufacturing shop where I worked, and she was in her late 20s and married and had a child, and I could tell right away it was my job to sort of train her and teach her the ropes about making countertops, and I knew right away she had a sad countenance, just never smiled, was always sad. And she said, well, my marriage just isn't good, and things, my husband really doesn't love me anymore. So I thought to myself, I'm going to tell her about Jesus when I get the chance. One of these days, I'm going to tell her about Jesus. And then one day, I found she didn't come in, and the next day she didn't come in. I found out she would quit. She had quit. And then about a week later, I found the news, heard the news in the paper, that she had committed suicide. And you know how that made me feel? When she was right there beside me, and I had every opportunity to tell her about the glorious joy she could find in Jesus and the answer for her marriage. And I didn't tell her anything, and she slipped into a Christless eternity without God. I have failed God more times than I... And it's not a good feeling, is it? Now, Judas thinks about his future, and he can't face it. He's failed. He said, I betrayed the Son of God. It's over. And Jesus could have gone on and done something great. And now because of me, He's going to die. I can't live with that. What will my friends say? The embarrassment, the shame. And he thought, I know a tree outside the city. And he went there and threw a rope over the branch. And he thought, is there any reason to live? I mean, I can't face Jesus again. And seeing nothing but despair and regret for the rest of his life, he puts a rope around his neck, tightens it up, steps off the cliff, the rope goes taut, and Judas is dead. His failure killed him. And friends, Judas never knew Easter. He never discovered Easter. But Judas wasn't the only one that failed Jesus now. Understand this. Contrast the failure of these two disciples, Judas and Peter. Now, remember Simon Peter. Now listen, if you don't agree, because I believe that Peter betrayed Jesus just as much as Judas did. Now, his betrayal was not less grievous than Judas's betrayal. In fact, at the Last Supper, remember, Jesus said, they were gathered there at the Last Supper, and Jesus said, one of you will betray me. Remember what Peter did? He bragged, not me, Lord, not me. It ain't going to be me. I will never, ever betray you. It's Passover. I'm not going to let you down, Jesus. Peter says, I'll die for you. And Jesus says, Peter, just a reminder to you. Remember this. When you hear a rooster crow, in the morning. Think about how many times you've denied me. We all know Peter. Ain't no way, Lord, I'll die for you. And the Bible says he became indignant about it. But you know the story. Jesus is being tried, and there in the middle of the night, Peter sneaks back into the city, seeing what's going on. He sneaks up to a fire to warm himself. The people start to identify him, and they start to murmuring. And someone comes up to him and says, I know you. You're a follower of Jesus. And he vehemently denied it. I don't know the man. Don't even like him. I'm just here for the Passover. And there's more murmuring. And finally, one of the high priest's servants came over to him and said, I know you're with Jesus because your speech gives you away. And Scripture says, Peter stood up and swore and cursed. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that he let out a string of profanities. The Greek tense has the meaning of calling down curses on himself. So, in other words, he called down curses on his own life about knowing Jesus. He said, well, and excuse my language here about this, but this is how the Greek goes. Peter said, well, may God just damn me for eternity if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. May my soul rot in hell, and may I die there. I am not a follower of Jesus Christ. And when he said that, the rooster crows. Jesus looks down from the balcony. Peter looks up, and their eyes meet. How would you feel? How would you feel? And the Bible says, Simon Peter ran outside the city and he wept bitterly. He just didn't cry. He bawled and bawled and bawled. And he thinks, I know a tree on the edge of town. I think I'll go end it all. He looks into his future and he says, for the rest of my life, I'll be known as the man who always made promises to God and always broke them. First, I'm walking on water, and then all of a sudden I'm sinking and Jesus has to lift me up. And then Jesus calls me a rock, and man, I am like sand, man. I'm shifting all over, and now here I am denying Jesus not once, not twice, three times. I don't think I can live with that kind of pain. I don't think I could go on with that kind of failure. And you know the story, right? Simon Peter didn't go out and end his life. Which brings us to this contrast of these two disciples this morning. One who... Understand this, friends. One person who failed experienced Easter. And one who failed never experienced Easter. Now let me ask you a question. What was the difference between Judas and Peter? Why did one make it and one didn't? And let me tell you this. And here's the answer. It's how they handled their failure. It's how they handled their failure. Now let me... There's a popular song. Why did one make it, one didn't? Let me digress to a popular theological song that goes along with this. It's not in your hymn book. You won't find it there. In fact, it's an old country western song, and Kenny Rogers made it popular. You probably know it. It goes like this. The lyrics go like this. You've got to know when to hold on and know when to fold on. You know, you got to know when to hold up and know when to hold. You know that? Remember that song, Kenny Rogers, the gambler song? Okay. Now let me prove to you how that's theological. All right, and don't anybody go home today and say, Pastor Bill said it's okay to gamble. I'm not saying that. I'll prove it to you here, O ye of little faith. The song says, you've got to know when to hold on. And that's the big difference between Judas and Peter. Judas, looking into his future, sees nothing but embarrassment and pain and being branded a failure for the rest of his life, not seeing any reason to go on, and he gave up. He gives up and he says, I don't see any reason to live. I think I'll just give up. And he died holding on to his failure because he couldn't hold on a few days longer. And Simon Peter, having failed Jesus, failed him to the same degree, looks into his future, sees a lot of pain, embarrassment, feels like letting go, feels like giving up, quitting the whole Christian business, but instead decides to hold on just a few days longer to see if God was still around. Have you noticed, church, how easy it is, how tempted we are to quit when it gets tough? Not always because we don't love Him, but sometimes when you fail, don't you feel when you fail God like giving up? Don't our personal failures sometimes take the joy out of days like next Sunday? I mean, after all, on Easter, we ought to be singing and shouting and dancing and beating on the tambourines and having a great time. But I'm not so sure that maybe some of us here today, because of the failures in our lives, maybe just don't have the joy because we've just sort of given up. I heard a quote from a Navy admiral one time who said this. He said, the only difference between heroes and cowards is that heroes hold on a few minutes longer. They just hold on a few minutes longer. And friends, that's the difference between Judas's life and Peter's life. When Judas saw his failures, he said, I don't see any future with God. I might as well just quit. Simon Peter, feeling the same way, not seeing any of his future because of his failures, said, I don't know why, but I think I'll just endure my embarrassment and pain a few days longer. And 3 days later, Peter held on a little tighter. And when Judas saw his failure, he said, I might as well quit. When Peter saw his failure, he said, I think I'll hold on a few days longer. And because Peter held on to that little ray of hope in him for God, when he felt like quitting, he received all the blessings and power and the joy and the change and the experience of seeing the resurrected Lord. See, the song says you've got to know when to hold on. The other reason that Peter and Judas were different, now hear this, church, was that Judas couldn't let go of his failure. Judas couldn't let go of his failure, but Simon Peter did. See, on Easter, you've got to have two things. Coming up next Sunday, you've got to have two things. If you want to experience Easter, friends, if you just don't want to make it a holiday, when you get a day off, you know, and you eat ham, you know, at the dinner table, and everybody comes around and you stuff yourselves. If you want to have more than that at Easter, number one, you've got to admit that you're a sinner, a failure, and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, forgive you of your failures, forgive you of your shortcomings, and come into my life. Amen. That's number one if you want to have Easter. You got to let Jesus come into your life so you can experience all the grace that He gives and forgiveness. You've got to say, Lord, I admit I'm a failure in my life. Doing it my way without You, it hasn't gotten me anywhere. I'm wrong. Your Word is true, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Make me a new person. That's the first step to Easter. But there's a second step to Easter that we rarely talk about. And that's this. You've got to be willing to let go of your failures and drop them at the cross and then go on. You see, that's the second step. Isn't it true, Christians, that it's easier for Jesus to forgive a person's failure than it is for us to forgive a person's failure. Isn't it? We look at people's failures and almost we rejoice because we see ourselves. I'm glad I'm not that guy, you know. I don't want to forgive him. It's easier for Jesus to forgive a person's failures than it is for us many times. Sometimes, let's make it personal. Christ forgives us of our failures, past failures, but sometimes we hold on to them. Sometimes we hold on to our failures wrongly thinking that, well, it's my cross to bear. Or, I deserve this. I need to pay penance, you know. I need to show God I'm sorry. I hold on to my failures. I won't let God forgive me of it. I'm here to tell you today, friends, by God's Holy Spirit, this Easter coming up, it's time for you to let go of your failures, to drop them. The Bible says, Peter said this, it's one of my life verses. Peter said, for we all stumble in many ways, don't we? It's now a few days after His resurrection. Peter and John out fishing. Jesus is on the shore. He sees them. They row in. Jesus says to Peter, after they get up to the shore, Jesus says to Peter, let's go for a walk. Just you and me. And Peter had just denied Jesus. Yeah, that sting of his failure is still with him. And Jesus asked the question, Simon, do you love me? There was a time in my life when I believed that people who sinned didn't love God. I don't believe that any longer. I don't believe that. I know that people who sin can still love God. Because I love God. And once a year I sin. You know. I'll make it personal. Probably every day I sin. My thoughts get the best of me. My anger gets the best of me. Jesus, knowing Peter's broken heart, everyone else is happy. It's Easter. Jesus isn't alive. Peter isn't happy. He's still holding on to his failure. And Jesus says to Peter, Simon, if you love me, I want you to go back to your church and I want you to start teaching a Sunday school class. And I want you to start feeding my sheep. Simon's probably thinking, Lord, they're going to make fun of me. Everyone knows I let you down. Don't you think there's someone better to teach Sunday school than somebody who has failed you? And what Jesus said to Peter in essence was this, Simon, I have been to the Father. I have defeated Satan in hell. I have come from that cross and out of that tomb. The Father has accepted my death as payment for every one of your sins and every one of your failures. Now, Simon, if you love me, if you believe in me, it's time to let go of your failures and go forward because it's Easter. I used to make fun of those disciples. Bunch of wimps, you know, bunch of failures. Hiding up there in that upper room like a bunch of whipped puppies. They could have been out there standing up for God. But you know what I believe now since I've matured in my years as a believer and since I've had children and raised them? I now respect those men and women in that upper room because they didn't quit. They were still there. Still hoping for something. Still hoping for someone. Still looking for someone that would take away their failure. How about it? Some of us might be still groveling at the foot of our failures. I had a lady come who I wanted to come to church one time, and she was a neighbor and a young lady, and I finally she said, I can't come to your church. I said, why not? We're open to everybody. She said, and she finally knelt her head, bowed her head. She said, I had an abortion when I was young. Listen, the church is for people like that. The church is for people who have had all kinds of failures in their lives, but they can come to Jesus and He can say to them, drop your failures, drop your sin, drop your past, drop the guilt, drop it at the cross. Be new. Jesus wants to make us brand new. That's just not our sins. That's our past also, friends. Message this morning is very simple, friends. Today, you can let go of your failures. It's time to let go of your failures. Confess that sin, whatever it is. Because, listen, if Jesus could forgive Simon Peter and put him in charge of the church, He can forgive you too. Everything in your past. Today, you can still have Easter. How about the alcoholic who comes in and says, I'm looking for someone who can help me? Or the drug addict who says, I've got to drop this habit. Is church a place for them? Absolutely! This is where they need to be. This is where they find hope. This is where they can find their past gone and that failure dropped at the cross and be made brand new. So friends, is there an Easter for them? Yeah, yeah. Is there an Easter for you? Absolutely. Because Jesus in a few days, it's Friday maybe, but Sunday is coming, it's around the corner, and He's alive, and He's alive today, and He's still healing hurts, and He's still helping people, and He's still forgiving people of their failures so they can drop them and go on and be new creatures in Christ. Today you can have that opportunity. I don't know what it is. I've dropped so many failures at the cross. It's a wonder Jesus still smiles at me. But He still does. Because I've taken those failures. Some people look at those failures. You can look at that failure in your life and it's like a picture, you know. And every day Satan wants you to look at that picture. He says, look at that picture of you failing. Satan, and he can get you down. He can get you so that you aren't a victor for Jesus anymore. You get lose your joy. You know what Jesus does? He comes and He takes that picture that you look at. You know what He does? I know it's there. You can't erase it. You can't take it out. But what He does, He says, here. He takes that picture and He turns it over. So you can't see it anymore. It might be there, but you don't have to look at it. You don't have to look at it. Jesus does that, friends, for you. He's done that for you. Because that's what Easter does. That's the hope at the end of the tunnel. Right there for every one of you this morning. That's my message. It's simple. It's not complicated. But then when you come to Jesus, it's not complicated at all. There's nothing complicated about finding grace and forgiveness and finding God through His Son, Jesus. Well, let's pray. God, Lord Jesus, I can't thank You enough for what You do to change people's lives, to give them a brand new start, to know, God, that we're sinners. Deep down, if we look at ourselves, we know there's something wrong inside of us. But we can come to You, Jesus, and You can wash away that sin. And we become white as snow, and we're forgiven, and what a feeling, God. And then You allow us to drop our failures. Thank you, Jesus, for Your grace. Praise Your holy name. God, that You have made a way for us to come to You and bravely come before Your throne. Not in our own selves, but because Jesus' blood covers us. Thank You, God. And now, if there's something in any one of our lives, anyone here today, that's just bogged us down and it's a picture we don't like to look at, Jesus, let them take that picture. And with Your hands on our hands,
let's turn that picture over so we don't look at it anymore. It might be a failure, but we can drop it today. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And I pray that you'll bless this church this coming week and bless their Easter services next Sunday, that it might be a joyful time as we celebrate, Jesus, that you are alive, that you are the risen Savior that we serve, that you are the risen Passover Lamb that gives us life, and that today you are interceding for us. I pray that it would be a time of rejoicing, and bless their fellowship to follow. And thank you for taking my stumbling, stammering words and helping them to make sense today. In Jesus' name, we lay down our failures. Amen.